today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Disney announces it will open a Star Wars hotel in 2021. Marriott cuts the value of your Bonvoy points all over the world, and cruise ships scramble to deal with the coronavirus. Details coming up next.
At 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler and more environmentally conscious traveler by talking about the ways that you can ditch those single-use plastics. And warning, credit card companies are quietly cutting travel-related benefits.
The readers of Chris Elliott's consumer advocacy website, Elliott.org, give awards annually to the best in customer service. We'll give you the list for 2020 at 3:35.
And at 3:50, we introduce you to Ann Harris. Now, Ann is on a mission to help artisans outside the country get fair prices for their crafts. How does she do that? Well, take a listen. It's a great story about a very most interesting gal.
You have found the most informative travel show on the radio dial, live from Sacramento, California. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone. Once again, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, hosted by Mark Hoffman. That's right over there on my left. I'm
Where?
Tom Romano, and we're brought to you by Sports
Where?
Leisure
Where,
Vacation.
Where's the Hoffman guy?
Hoffman guy, that's you.
Oh.
That's you.
Oh, okay.
And speaking of the Hoffman guy, welcome back. And what you been doing since
Thank
I
you.
Saw you last? Actually,
what have I been doing? Actually, it's welcome back to you, because you were the guy who took off Super Bowl Sunday. And I called up Gwen Duncan and I said, Gwen, would you like to come and help me on Sunday? She says, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And I said, well, yeah, that's the reason that I need some help, is because Tom is flaking on me. And Gwen said I would be happy to, as long as I'll just listen to the game on the way home. So she went dashing out of here at 4:01 last week. So,
yes, and but, thanks again, Gwen, for doing so. And our family that was when we called in during the show, they were pretty excited to play a part of being on the radio, even if it was just hollering, go 49ers, only to be disappointed later on in the day.
Didn't work out well for 49ers fans. But there was
no fights at the house. There was no violence. We didn't have to call the police because people were overly upset for losing. It was a good day, even though we lost.
So everybody was pretty much on the same side. You didn't have any too many fans for the winning team.
You
in the
know,
building.
we had a couple of people that were for neither team that that joined as family members. Not everybody's a 49er fan in our family. They're like Raiders fans, but it wasn't as if they had a horse in the race.
Yeah.
On the other side, they weren't a Kansas fans. You're from Kansas, aren't you?
I'm from Nebraska, but same difference. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a flat flyover state. Hey, listen, this is a travel show,
okay.
But why not? Hunter Pence is coming back to the Giants.
I'll tell you, I'm very excited about that.
Us old guys are happy about this, because whenever an old guy comes back to where he was, wanders back to where he started,
Well, how old is the old guy?
I don't know. Well, in baseball years, once you get to be past 35, you're pretty much ancient.
Yeah, I bet he's not much older than that.
I would guess
35.
Yeah, I would guess, probably 36, 37, something like that. But anyways, all right. So, meanwhile, back at the travel program, I made a quick little trip to Palm Springs. I'm going to the California travel symposium seminar thingy that they have this every year. And it's when all the big wigs in California travel, and there are some big wigs in California travel, think Disney and Universal and places like that. These people spend and bring in and are responsible for a lot of dollars. So they all get together and make decisions, and the rest of us then follow what they did, which is kind of sort of, they would like you to think otherwise, but that's kind of the way it works out. But anyways, I just decided I wanted to go down and see how they make those decisions and stuff like that. I've always wanted to attend one of those, and I decided this year that I would do it. So that's where I'm going for a couple of days. And then next Sunday, I'm taking some folks to Hawaii. We're going to have a live show from Kauai in a couple of weeks. Talk about cheap airfares and wonderful places to visit in the islands. So that's what I've been doing. What have you been doing? Just bumming around?
That's it. I tell you, just taking care of loose ends and waiting for today to show up so we could make people smarter travelers. Did you want to spend a minute talking about your visit to see the Carpenter show? Save it till later?
Save it till later.
All right, let's get it on. It is time for the travel news. Find out what the world's going on, and there is a lot.
There is. Disney has announced that they're going to build a Star Wars hotel. It's going to open in 2021 at the Disney World Resort in Orlando. They didn't talk about prices, but they are talking about an all-immersive experience where you can... there's going to be... copies of Star Wars sets and the like that people can tour while they're in the hotel. The rooms are going, there's some pictures of the rooms here. They're going to be made to look like the Star Wars sets. So if you are a Star Wars person and you can wait about a year and a half, you can stay in a Star Wars hotel. And so, the other thing is you have to go to Florida, which is, you know, a little bit of a downside too.
Man, I tell you, the it's kind of interesting because Disney acquired the whole Star Wars the rights to
the
use
franchise,
the
yeah.
franchise, and they've spun off on that more so than they've done things like Frozen and some of the other things that Disney created themselves.
They have, and by the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there's a link there at the top of the page on the right, highlights from this week, that where you can see the pictures of the Star Wars Hotel if you are a fan of such. Marriott Bonvoy members, remember how we talked last year when they changed the name of their program from Marriott Rewards to Bonvoy? Some people online, every time they felt that they'd been skewered by Marriott, they said, well, you've been Bonvoyed. So I guess this would be the ultimate in Bonvoying. Marriott has announced, you know, every year hotels say so many hotels are moving up a category or two and so many hotels are moving down. And gosh darn, if it doesn't always seem as though about three or four times as many hotels move up as move down, that seems to be kind of a common thing. That's happening at Marriott this year. Marriott has also done this thing where they said that they were creating peak and off-peak award pricing, but really what it is there are a few dates, slow dates, where that are lesser expensive, and all the other ones are now, quote, peak dates.
Mm-hmm.
So Marriott folks have been skewered here a little bit. There's even a spreadsheet online to show you how the different categories are going up and down. But the bottom line is that your Marriott points are not going to go quite as far as they used to. Some folks attribute this to the fact that Marriott gathered together with Sheraton, and now they have so many high-tiered travelers that the number of points rooms that the demand is exceeding the supply. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it is another example of what we tell people. You've got, you know, 500,000 points in your account that you've built up over a long time, and you're saying, boy, I'm just going to save those up and use them all someday. Well, guess what? They just went down in value about 10-12% across the board if they're Marriott points. So use them today because they will never be worth that much tomorrow.
I got an email just this past week from Marriott Bonvoy, mm-hmm. being a former Starwoods member.
Yeah.
And they reminded me that at the end of my annual, because once they took over, it's been about a year, it'll be mm-hmm. a couple more weeks, they are going to give me points towards a free night.
Yes.
But by the time I get them, I think it was 25,000, mm-hmm. that'll be worth a half a night.
Some of the old Starwood people are complaining, yes, because the anniversary award, the free night that you get on your anniversary, is not good for, it's only so many points, which will get you so far up the hotel ladder. And yes, folks are now complaining that as hotels are reevaluated and sent higher up the ladder, fewer of those hotels are reachable with that free night stash of points. So yes, it's kind of what we talk about here a lot. All of these frequent guests and flyer and all these programs and stuff like this, they're basically a con. The idea is to get you hooked into something and to get you to be loyal. And any time that something comes out and there's a press release that says, hey, new benefit, read closely, because it always means that probably something a little bit bigger is being taken away. This is not these people are not giving away things for free. So they're trying to figure out how they can hoodwink you into thinking that they're giving away things for free and you'll stay loyal to their program. So get what you can out of them, but don't get too tied to the fact. Don't go out spending thousands of dollars just to keep status with a hotel guest, frequent guest program. But the flip side is if you stay in a chain, you should belong to their frequent guest program because, as we've said here before, it identifies you as a customer. Coronavirus is causing cruise ships all kinds of issues. We've got a ship setting off the coast of Japan with about 60 infected people on it. But the number of coronavirus infections has started to level out and come down the last couple of days. That could mean that they've gotten their hands around it and that enough people have been quarantined who are already sick that they're not spreading the virus to somebody else. The next week will probably tell you a lot. The passengers that were on the ship that has been quarantined, by the way, we had speculated, Gwen and I, last week, Tom, how much fun that wouldn't be to be on it, have an inside cabin on a ship and be told that, you know, you can't go outside, you can't have any interaction with anybody. So after a few days, what they did was figured out a way to let those passengers a few at a time out in the open air and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right. Yeah, the situation where they've brought a lot of people from China and they've quarantined them on a couple of military bases and
yep,
so forth.
Some of them are right down at Travis.
Right. They had an interview last night on a guy that is quarantined there. And, you know, he says, you know, it's not as bad as I expected it to be. The rooms are nice. Mm-hmm. They allow us outside. I can go outside and sit on the grass and get a little suntan. He says it's not so bad. Of course, he doesn't have a fever and he doesn't have the virus. But, you know, they're doing their best to make these people as comfortable as they possibly can mm-hmm. for the quarantine period of time.
Well, and the Chinese government, which is kind of an authoritarian sort of dictatorship kind of based government, kind of set on this information for about a month. They were trying to figure out what to do about it, but they didn't tell the public about it. And that we lost some crucial time there because that allowed the second generation of the virus to get out and start to get spread around China and then ultimately the planet. So it was a situation a little bit there of a government covering themselves as opposed to taking care of the people. Heaven forbid anything like that should ever happen here. 20 U.S. airports are screening passengers for the virus. As you come in, everything, this was up from just a half a dozen. It's everywhere from Puerto Rico to Anchorage to, of course, here in California. San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles are all screening for the virus. So far, only a dozen or so cases here in the States. We will keep an eye on it. I don't know that anybody knows what's going to happen next, but it does, as I said, it does appear as though the number of infections are leveling off. And also, it should be noted that the number of people who are recovering is about 3.5 times the number of people who are meeting their demise. And that number will probably go up. That ratio will go up and get better because a lot of those people who have died were people who were infected early and didn't get the kind of treatment. So people who are getting treated now are generally getting better. All right, let's switch to some little bit more uplifting subjects here. There is new nonstop service from Amsterdam to London. A new train is scheduled to start service. It will take about 4 hours to get there from Amsterdam Central Station to downtown London. It starts next month, and there will be one from Rotterdam to London begins May the 18th. So if you're going to London or the Netherlands, a possibility of another way that you can get between countries there and across the channel. The FAA quietly has confirmed that the Boeing 737 MAX certification flight is on the horizon. That means that they are going to fly the airplane to try to decide when it goes back into service. So now that Boeing has heeded the FAA's recommendation and stopped trying to manipulate the media, now I think this is going to probably come to a little bit quicker conclusion. At least I hope so. There are a lot of airplanes Southwest has got 35 airplanes that they don't have, plus a lot of new airplanes they haven't been able to get. United has planes on the ground. But let's face it, as somebody who flies all the time, I want to fly in an airplane that is going to go up and come down at this, you know, on a runway.
The appropriate location.
Yeah, at the appropriate location. Yosemite National Park visitors were up 10% in 2019. It's the largest one-year increase in the park's history. Again, there are all kinds of cool articles that we don't have time to talk about here. You can see them in the highlights from this week at TravelGuysRadio.com, and that's your travel news for today.
All right. Once more, coming up on the Travel Guys, our Smarter Traveler segment, going to make you more environmentally conscious. That's next.
On
everyone, it is Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We are on our way to making you a smarter traveler. Mark, do you use many plastic water bottles? I use a lot.
I use a lot, but I'm using fewer than I used to. I'm not using as few as I should be, but I'm getting closer, well, and I'm working on it.
You, it seems to me, I saw you with your own personal aluminum water bottle, didn't you?
Well, that
one?
Was that, I brought that home. I stayed at a Marriott hotel in San Francisco, and instead of a plastic water bottle, they gave you the aluminum one.
Right.
And so, currently, right now at Sports Leisure Vacations, we're looking for we've got 7 or 8 different samples, uh-huh. and we're trying to decide which one. For our travelers, something that maybe has some kind of antibacterial impact to it so that, you know, if you forgot to wash it out for a couple of days, it wouldn't kill you.
Right. That's a concern.
Yeah. And something that you can easily fill and that is sealable and, you know, all the things. It's not too big, or maybe it keeps cold, cold and warm, warm. And so we're trying to figure all that out.
Get one of the Yeti ones. There you go.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
money there. I thought about... Nowadays, you can purchase beer in these like aluminum cans,
mm-hmm.
and they get a little screw-off top,
yep.
and you can recycle one of those and use it as a water bottle. However, the people at work really were giving me the eye when I was sitting in the studio sucking down a Coors Light, or which was my water out of the Coors Light, whatever, and so I said, you know, this is probably a bad idea.
Did you know that 127 countries, according to... a year and a half old United Nations report, 127 countries as of 18 months ago had adopted some type of legislation against plastic bags. So this is not, you know, just something that is happening in a few communities. It's happening. What we told folks, Sacramento Airport is going to eliminate plastic water bottles.
But
San Francisco has already done so.
But we only have 8 million metric tons of plastic ending up in the ocean.
Well, but, you know,
that's
you can
hardly
take...
hardly anything.
There's two approaches you can take to all of this. You can say, well, you know, I'm just one guy, and if I pick up this starfish and throw it back in the ocean, I can't pick them all up, so what good does it do? But I'm going to suggest to you that for every person who sets a good example and shows how it's supposed to be done, it kind of shows a lot of other people that, hey, you know, more and more people are doing it this way. Yesterday, at Sports Leisure Vacations, we had a little concert. Thank you to the Sacramento Valley Chorus, to the ladies who put on a concert for some of our best customers yesterday. But we noticed that there were no refreshments being served at this little hour and a half long event. And many of the people coming in, we noticed, were carrying their own refillable water bottles of some type.
Cool.
So it was very interesting to see the increase in the number of people who are walking around with their own water bottle. And that tells me that fewer and fewer people are depending on plastic bottles. So anyways, just some things that we talk about here. Some of these are things that we've talked about before. Many hotel chains are ditching personal size toiletries and going to dispensers on the wall. So you can help with the situation. Not every hotel has done this. Don't use them. I know there's the temptation to use them and take them home with you or something. Here's a better idea. Find the ones that you like the best, the hotel's brand that you like the best, and then keep those little bottles and keep filling them up and use them yourself on trips. Use them 5 or 10 or 20. I've got a couple of bottles that I got from a Renaissance hotel, which is a Marriott brand, probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I've used them ever since. So that's a way of I've probably saved 100 little individual bottles, just one person. So, I mean, think what a whole hotel full of people,
right,
or a whole
right.
city of hotels full of people.
You know, and it's not necessarily the lead of big hotels that are doing this. Starwood's Four Points, now
mm-hmm.
Bonvoy, when you stay in their locations, they have the dispensers on the wall, the soap,
yep.
the cream rinse, the body wash. I love it. I wish I had one of those at my house.
Now, see, here's another idea that you might not think of. And you might even think this is a little bit radical. Straws are the big thing right now because plastic straws, we figured out, they get through recycling things and they stay intact and they're a problem. So we're so hypothetically, more and more businesses are using a recycled straw or a reusable straw. So that's something that you could take with you on the road. And by washing out, you could use your own reusable straw and not have to use straws along the way. The other thing is like plastic cutlery. When you're going to fast food restaurants, there is cutlery now that is made out of bamboo that's easily washable that you could keep. You're going on a two-week road trip. So you take your own fork and spoon with you. You know, people used to do this when they were camping. So it's not as bizarre of an idea as you might think. There are little ways, I think, is the point of doing little things. And if we all started doing those little things, it would probably lead to bigger things. All right.
You know, I think everybody at one time or another uses plastic bags when they travel to stick their stuff in, and then mm-hmm. the plastic bag gets thrown away. Packing cubes, I know you got some now.
Yes, Mrs. mine. Romano gave me some a couple years ago. I use them all the time. Saves, and I've mentioned this before. If I get a plastic bag on the road, I bring it home with me, and I use it at least one more time. So I figure that I've doubled the lifespan of that plastic bag. Also, now I carry a tote bag with me, one of the grocery bags. I've got one in my suitcase and one in my carry-on, so that if I stop and buy some things, three or four things, I don't have to have a plastic bag. I've got my own bag. So slowly but surely, we're kind of training each other. Another thing I wanted to mention here, we've got about a minute before we have to go to the break. There is some information on this at travelguysradio.com, but credit card companies are getting rid of travel benefits. Many credit cards have come with trip interruption insurance, covered automobile insurance, lost luggage protection, travel accident insurance. Credit card companies are cutting these. So most people weren't aware of them, have never used them. But if you are somebody who has regularly used one of these benefits, or at one point in time had a trip that went AWOL and you were able to take advantage of it, just know that. Go and look at your credit card agreement, because there's a fairly good chance that it doesn't exist, or at least doesn't exist in the form that it used to exist. So travel benefits on credit cards are indeed vanishing.
All right, coming up after we find out what's going on in the world in the news, we're going to talk about Chris Elliott's, his viewers, people that go to his websites. They have, I'll tell you, it's one of those days. They have voted for their favorites. We're going to talk about it next here on The Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and I was looking for, but I haven't run across it yet here. I saw him this morning, our sweetheart Kitty O'Neill, who has been going to the Oscars every year, the Academy Awards.
Forever.
As long as I've known her, and probably before, maybe 25 years or plus. And I think this year would be no different. If you didn't know, Kitty is a sewer. She has always made her own dress to wear to the Academy Awards.
That is the coolest thing. I mean, that really is the coolest thing. She makes her own dress.
Yeah, wow. I was hoping maybe we would get in a call in from her, but I'm sure there'll be stuff all over tomorrow on KFBK.
I used to know a guy who was a seat filler at the Oscars. You know what a seat filler is? When somebody gets an award and goes up to the stage, why somebody fills their seat, so there's not an empty seat in the audience. So you have to come all dressed nice, and then you go fill that seat until the person comes back.
Really? I had no idea.
Then you go back to the seat filler area, and then they dispatch you, and you might sit in five or six different people's seats, and you get to meet celebrities.
I could sign up for that.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
All right, I have a couple of things here before we get into Chris Elliott's list. This is actually a couple of weeks old, and I meant to mention it each of the last 2 weeks. Delta Airlines, at the end of the year, they had a very good year last year, and they have a little bit of a profit-sharing plan with their employees, but they decided to go one better than that. They gave all of their employees a check for 2 months' pay.
Wow.
At the end of the year. 90,000 people. Their CEOs just said Delta would be nothing without our people. They deserve all the credit. It's a record payout. It's more than $1 billion to the people at Delta. I'm going to tell you something. If you own a company and you give your employees a couple of months' pay and tell them that they did a good job, they're going to believe you, because that's pretty amazing. So if you're wondering why the service is a little better on Delta than it is on United or American, it's because You know, and it, I just flew back on Delta from Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, and I have to say the service was better on Delta than it is on American or United.
Yeah, were there a lot of smiling employees on board, huh?
No, they were just wearing a lot of fancy, expensive clothing and had a lot of, you know, a lot of jewelry. And no, I'm just kept kidding about that. And here's one other little news note here. Tom, I think this is really interesting. This has got a little tiny note on a news wire that I got. AAA has tweaked its Diamond Hotel rating system. You know, for years, AAA has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 diamonds.
Right.
And a 5-diamond award was very hard to get. Hell, 4 was very hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so AAA says that it's revamped its diamond program that rates hotels and restaurants. What were 1 and 2-diamond establishments will now get an approved designation, while 3, 4, and 5-diamond hotels and restaurants will retain their 3, 4, and 5-diamond designation. AAA's goal is to end the perception that a lower-end diamond rating means poor quality. And I thought that was really, really interesting because I've paid attention to AAA diamond ratings for 40 years, and I have to tell you that, you know, when I see a hotel or a restaurant that's rated 1 or 2 stars, I don't think to myself, oh, it's just a smaller place, or maybe they're not as fancy, or, you know, they're not trying to be a 5-diamond restaurant. I'm thinking to myself, ooh, 1 diamond.
Everybody has for 40 years.
And that might just be a good local little diner by the side of the road that is what it is. You know, it's a local greasy spoon, and you passed it up because it only had 1 diamond.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, congratulations to AAA. I'm wondering why you didn't think of that 40 years ago. But I do agree that it might not be a bad idea just to give the 1. Of course, now sometimes, and it's not the diamonds, it's the ratings that will tell you whether or not a place can have 3 or 4 or 5 diamonds and not be worth anywhere near what they're charging for it. So pay attention to the ratings, but don't pay too much attention to the ratings.
Yeah, pay attention.
It's not easier. It's not easy being a consumer these days.
I know it isn't. You know, you just buyer beware.
Chris Elliott puts out, our good buddy, who is over in Europe right now with his kids, wandering around and doing what consumer advocates do. And his website here in the country, every year they vote on the winners of what they call the customer service awards. The idea is to, it pretty much speaks for itself, is to let consumers want to know which companies will give them the best service. Chris Elliott says that's why we do this award. So let's go through a few of these categories that might relate perhaps to travel and see what we've got here. Car rental company. Who would you say, do you rent a car often, Tom?
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm a big-time car rental
guy. All right, so who do you usually rent from?
I usually rent from Budget.
Okay, do you like Budget?
I do.
You know, Budget is basically an Avis company at this point.
That's true, but I like the Budget portion of the what do they got? Budget and Thrifty, and there's 2 or 3 others that all fall under that category.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I started using them. I have their Fast Break program. I've had really good success with pretty much everywhere. I've discovered that with car rentals on the whole, mm-hmm. It is somewhat degraded. Getting a car that's actually been washed and vacuumed or cleaned out. I mean, I'm always giving something back to them that isn't mine to begin with that I found in the car.
Wow.
So, you know, Budget's mine. I'm guessing you're an enterprise guy.
No, I'm the Hertz guy.
Hertz
but
guy.
I've deviated to National a few times recently. Hertz has this new system where you come back and they say, would you like us to email your receipt? I've mentioned this before. Never
yes.
fall for that. Always stay and get the receipt there, because if the receipt doesn't bear the numbers that it's supposed to bear and you look at it 2 days later, getting it fixed is a lot more difficult than if you get it fixed while you're standing there talking to the Hertz guy.
Yeah, on my last rental, I did that. I says, hey, I'd like to stay and get my receipt. And they says, well, this is going to take quite a while.
Because good customer service as opposed to just giving you a number we pulled out of the air.
So anyway, I ended up just walking away. I don't know. I didn't get charged anything extra, but I was in jeopardy there.
Chris Elliott's readers say the number one car rental company is Enterprise.
That's what I would have guessed.
I'm a little surprised with that because it seems like the Enterprise people are the Dings and Nicks people. But Enterprise, Hertz, Budget, National, and Dollar, in that order, are the top 5. Cruise Line, for folks who like to cruise. Royal Caribbean is number one. Viking is number two, which is a little bit of a surprise. Viking has made their reputation on European river cruises, but now has ocean-going ships. And, of course, their river cruises, their boats sit a little bit deeper in the water, and that causes some problems from time to time. Disney, number three on the cruise line department. So that indicates that a lot of the people who answered this were family-oriented people, NCL and Carnival.
Disney is going to become a country of its own.
Ground transportation. Chris Elliott's Customer Service Awards from Elliott.org for 2020. Who is number one in ground transportation? Uber or Lyft?
Yeah. Well,
which one?
I'm guessing probably Uber.
Yeah, Uber is number one. Lyft is number two. I would reverse those two.
You know, I think it's because Uber seemed to have got a head start.
Yeah,
and Lyft has just never caught up.
Could be. It's kind of like Discover Card versus a Visa. Not as many people are carrying it. More people might like it, but because not as many are carrying it, when the vote comes for what's your favorite credit card, they don't win. Megabus, number three, the city-to-city bus service. Greyhound, number four, which used to be the city-to-city bus service. And Zipcar, the rent-them-by-the-hour off the street, number five for ground transportation. Hotel, most popular hotel chain. Biggest, the one that we've just talked about, people getting Bonvoy at. Marriott, of course, is number one. Hilton, number two. Intercontinental is number three. Just so people know, Intercontinental, IHG, that's Holiday Inn. That's their parent company. Choice Hotels, which is Quality Inns and Comfort Inns, stuff like that. Wyndham Hotel, tied with Choice for fourth. Best Western, fifth. Interesting.
Who's La Quinta? Who's their parent company?
La Quinta. Oh, that's... Give me a minute.
The only reason I bring them up is I had to travel, and you're going to love this. We had to travel with pets, Mark. We were traveling with dogs. I mean, we talk about flying. Well, you know, who allows you to take your dog along? But what about when you stay in hotels? Not everybody does. La Quinta is very dog friendly.
Mm-hmm. Luis, by the way, our man in the other room who knows everything, Luis knows stuff. He right away, Wyndham, he says La Quinta is, and before I could even get it on the computer here, La Quinta and below it, it says join Wyndham Rewards. I'm not a big Wyndham guy, although that's kind of an up-and-coming brand. Wyndham hotels are better than they were 10, 15 years ago. They haven't quite sold me yet. Luggage. What's the number one luggage company? What's the favorite luggage company of consumers, at least according to those that read Elliott.org?
I don't know. Samsonite.
Samsonite,
I didn't even know they were still in business.
Travel Pro, which is what most of the airline people use, is second. Tumi, the most expensive and very good luggage, but very expensive. American Tourister 4, Eagle Creek, which is what my luggage is number five. Just remember, when you're buying beautiful luggage that looks really nice in the store, if you travel a lot, it will look like crud someday.
A lot of times, I mean, my
luggage could go through a car wash, I think. It's probably the only way it would look anyway like it did originally. So it looked very nice to start with. Now, the idea of luggage is it protects your stuff.
Right.
That's really the only thing that's important. All right, here, let's see. We got about one more minute. Online travel agency. This is interesting. Yeah. I would have thought TripAdvisor, but not so much.
Travelocity.
Expedia. Well, and now keep in mind that Expedia, Booking.com, three companies own most of these sites, but Expedia, Booking.com, TripAdvisor, Kayak, and Travelocity. I confess, Kayak is the only one that I use with any regularity, and that's just to compare airfares or to find out who serves a particular tertiary city or something like that. All right, let's see here. Travel insurance, Allianz Travel is number one, Seven Corners, TravelX, TravelGuard, and Generali Global Assistance. Theme parks, Disneyland, Universal, Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom. Disney gets four of the five slots on that. Let's see. International Airline, Virgin Atlantic, British Airways, Lufthansa, Emirates, Singapore, and Turkish. And finally, domestic airlines, Southwest, Delta, JetBlue, United, and American, as voted by the readers of Elliott.org, Customer Service Awards for 2020.
The list at travelguysradio.com. All right, coming up next, Anne Harris. Got a great program that she's put together on a website that soon will be released. It's all about helping people in Pan-American countries, mostly. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Again, follow along with us and links to our special guests at TravelGuysRadio.com. People travel for a lot of different reasons, and I think our next guest has a very, very unique reason why she's been on the road and what her mission is. Mark, tell us a little bit about our guest today.
Well, our guest is Anna Harris. And before we meet Anna, I want to tell you, I'm going to read you a little bit here about her mission statement so that you can get a little bit of an idea of what she's all about. She's working on starting a nonprofit organization to create a global market for artisans to sell directly to the consumer. She's trying to eliminate the middleman and create fair trade practices for artisans. She's doing a Pan-American highway trip to visit artisan communities all over Central America and to get ideas and inspiration for this project that she's working on. She's currently working with the tribe she served with in Peace Corps Panama. So this sounds really interesting, Anna. It sounds like you're a little bit of a world nomad here with an idea. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark and Tom. It's an honor to be here.
I've just read to folks a little bit about what you're trying to do, so give us an update if you can.
Yeah, so the nonprofit organization is called Change the Treehouse, and it originally started when I was serving in Peace Corps in Panama, and I was living among an indigenous tribe that had beautiful artisan work, but a lot of times they would try to sell it for next to nothing just to make a few bucks to eat and feed their families. And then you see all this artwork on display in Panama City or online places that sell it for extremely high prices. So essentially, the thought was to create a market online where the artisan could sell their products directly to a consumer and make a lot more higher wages that way.
So you originally were in Panama as a Peace Corps worker, and now you have gone back there, is that right? You have made a journey to Panama and to Central America to try to start setting up your project?
Yes, actually. We just finished the Pan-American Highway Adventure from Alaska all the way to Panama, and it was pretty crazy.
Wrote me some notes here about some of your adventures along the way with cars breaking down and all kinds of interesting stuff. Federales that pulled you over consistently because you had American license plates.
Yeah, so we actually had Alaska license plate, and driving through Mexico, every time, there's so many cops down there, and every time they would see our Alaska license plate, they would pull us over, they would want to check all our documents, and sometimes they would say, oh, you need to pay a bribe, or you need to fix some sort of regulation, and it was pretty crazy at times. And then we got to Guatemala, where our car actually broke down next to some Muxchampay, which are these beautiful cascading waterfalls. And that was kind of the start of our nightmare journey from there.
That was the start of your nightmare journey?
So our car broke down and the bottom hit a few big rocks. So the box that held the transmission fluid completely drained, and we went to a mechanic and they tried to fix it, but then they put in the wrong transmission fluid, and then that completely messed up the transmission. And we were able to get it to Guatemala City, but then they said, oh, it's going to be $5,000. And we just didn't have the funds to be able to do that. So from there, we decided to just take buses all the way down to Panama in order to finish out the journey and visit other artisan communities along the way and continue what we had set out to do.
I don't understand how you kept going. It seems to me that at any given moment, I would have just given this whole idea up. Did that cross your mind?
It did a lot of times, especially when we had the news that, you know, it was going to be $5,000 to fix the car. We considered fixing it, and then we actually found out it would be cheaper to ship the car. But we decided, you know, we have this vision and we really just want to keep going. And that at the end of the day, that's what we set out to do, and we really wanted to finish out what we started, and we made it all the way to Guatemala at least.
So Anna, now you've made it to Central America. You've got this vision of connecting people who make, basically people who make things for resale, to help them get a better price for their product so their lives will be a little bit better. So where are you on that part of your project?
So right, we've just returned from Panama, actually, and I have just purchased quite a bit of artisan goods from the tribes we had lived with in Panama, and currently I'm creating content, I'm building the website, and things are happening, so I'm really excited to see where things go, and hopefully this vision becomes a reality in the near future.
As a nonprofit, you're creating a website, so you'll be able to put these items up for sale that you have picked up from people in Panama and brought back with you, and then sell them and be able to fund some of their lifestyle.
Yes. So, you know, right now they live in stick huts in the middle of the jungle. You know, a lot of these communities don't have access to clean drinking water or even food to be able to feed their families. And so this will help them, instead of just, you know, trying to sell it for next to nothing for like $2-3, they'll be able to sell it for, you know, beautiful artwork prices, maybe $20 to $30 instead, and to be able to help them just be able to live and have a better quality of life for them and their families.
Anna, you are talking with people that here again perhaps don't know a lot about things like the internet or selling stuff online and so forth. Was it difficult to explain to them how you were going to help them sell their product other than for pennies on the dollar on the street corners and so forth? How did you explain your concept so that they would buy into allowing you to help them?
So we kind of discussed that the original concept, what they would do is they would just sell it to somebody on the street that would walk by that would be willing to buy it for $3. And then that person sells it for, you know, $10 to another person who sells it to the consumer, which is, you know, $20 plus. And so we were kind of breaking down that concept because they understood that, but telling them that there is computers. They understand that there are computers. They don't understand completely how the internet works, but that we would be able to reach people all over the world if we could list their beautiful artwork online and take pictures of it and explain how they're living and how we would be able to help them in that way.
Anna, when do you expect the website maybe to go live?
Actually, I'm putting the finishing touches on it this week, so hopefully within the next couple weeks it'll be live, and we'll be able to hopefully start helping these people.
All right. Well, make sure you send us a note so we can put it on our website and let our listeners know how to find all of these treasures that you've brought all the way back from Panama. I wish you the best of luck. It's certainly a worthy endeavor. It sounds like you've got a ways to go, but if you can get the website up and running, why, then folks will be able to see it, and perhaps you'll be on your way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and having me on the show today.
We have Anna's Twitter feed. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can get in touch with her if this sounds kind of cool to you. I think that she's got a really great idea, and she's certainly not the only person who has ever tried to do this, but I think it's a worthy cause. Anna's Twitter feed can be found at travelguysradio.com.
All right. Next week on the Travel Guys, our buddy Steve LaRosa joins us for another great What's Going On. We're going to find out all the great places to go and things to do that are happening over the next 30 days or so right here in the Sacramento area.
Yeah, including an appearance in town by former Giants River Cats A's pitcher Barry Zito. Sounds like kind of fun. So be listening for that next week. I'm going to be headed off to Hawaii after next week's program. So dance like nobody's watching, and we'll be talking with you soon.
All right, my friends, you stay well. Go Hunter Pence and the Giants. I'm looking forward to baseball. It's
catchers and pitchers report next week, my friend.
Here we go. All right, folks. Stay well. See you next time.